market research, information center. This is Pastor Mike. I am online and I am live with you today. Good to be with you today. Got a couple of things I'm going to say right at the beginning, and then we're going to be like all scripture today. So get your Bibles out or pull up your King James Pure Bible search software, and we're going to search the scriptures to see what is true. There's a secret out there. Secret societies keeping secrets. They don't like to be called secret societies anymore. They are societies with secrets. What secrets do they hold? What are they hiding? What do their symbols mean? Their handshakes, the way they cross their legs for a photo. I'm not making that up. Masons, when they pose for photos, if they are sitting down, more often than not, they will have their legs crossed. And believe it or not, that means something. It is a symbol that is, to them, sacred in Freemasonry. What are they doing? What are they hiding? Why can't they just come out and say, "Hey, let me tell you what we're doing here"? And they won't do it. They don't tell their wives what they're doing in the lodge meeting. They don't tell anybody. So we're going to talk about today. We're gonna get our shovels out and dig deep in the scripture, see if we can't find that thing. All right. A couple things to note. I got the information just a little while ago. For those of you who watch and tune in on our Wednesday night service, a few weeks ago, I asked for prayer for an old friend by the name of Dan. Dan used to run Dan's Towing here in Jefferson County. He was known by a lot of people. And he smoked heavily, and that caused his lung cancer. His wife got him going to church here the last couple years, and he seemed to respond to it. He grew up Roman Catholic and not really having much of an education. So, I mean, he was just a common man. He was a simple man. Kind of spoke rough, could fix cars and, you know, run a tow machine and things like that. I loved him. I knew him and I liked him. And, he was the son-in-law of one of the dear saints here at Bethel that's now gone home to be with the Lord, Sister Aline Estes. And, so I've ministered to that family for years. And his wife called me a couple of months ago and said, "Mike, Danny's dying of cancer. We have hospice here. And he's got a tumor laying on his aorta. And just, it could be any day that thing will eat through there and take his life." She said, "Would you come over and talk to him?" She said, "I know he went to the altar. I know he was baptized at our church, New Testament Baptist Church." But she said, I want to know. Danny was one of these guys, and I want you to hear me. Danny was one of these guys that did not consider himself religious. He did not talk religious. He didn't know how to pray like some people in church pray. Couldn't really read the Bible much. But I can tell you, having sat with him, he believed what I read to him from the Word of God. He believed it. The last time that I went to see him, I asked everybody to pray for me. Pray that God would give me the answers or the things to say to him, and that God would give him clarity of his mind, and that we would know. He would know. I would know. His wife would know where he's going to spend eternity. And I did. I sat down with him and I talked to him a little bit and read scripture to him. I said, "Danny, I want you to look me in the eye and tell me that you know for a fact that Jesus has forgiven all of your sins." And he did. Looked me right in the eye and said it. And he said, "Mike, I pray every time I lay down." I said, "Danny, I believe that." His wife told me yesterday that every morning she would talk to him, pray with him. "Danny, where are you going?" So I'm going to heaven. That's what he said yesterday. About 2:30 yesterday afternoon, while his wife and daughter were out picking up a few groceries, and they were on their way back, and there was a lady from our church there just watching over him. He passed on, stood before Jesus, having his sins forgiven. And so Saturday, I'll be called upon to preach his funeral. I'm actually looking forward to it, believe it or not. Here's a picture. When I was at the house yesterday when they called me and said that he passed. I went to the house and we had prayer with the family. And that's Danny there. And like I say, just a plain and simple guy. You can see his smokes there in his shirt pocket. Folks, you have never heard me say that smoking cigarettes is a sin and you can't go to heaven if you smoke cigarettes. You've never heard me say that because I don't believe it. I do believe that they stink. I believe that it's a rotten, dirty, nasty habit to have. And if you are hooked on smokes, I pray for you. I'm being loving and compassionate in this. I'm not belittling you. I'm not trying to deride you. I'm not, because I saw my mom struggle with cigarettes for years. After getting her life right with God, I saw her struggle with it. And finally, she was able to walk away from them, God giving her the victory. And I've seen people like that in our church over the years. So I say this in no condemnation whatsoever, but I have had two people that I love dearly die because of cigarettes. And if you are smoking, crush them out. Ask God to help you get over that. All right? Just, you guys know me. I don't talk, oh, you need to have health and you need to do this. I'm just telling you. Two people that I know and cared about and loved dearly. One of them, the other one is my brother-in-law, which incidentally, he was also one of these guys, never considered himself religious, and yet God saved him. And that, to me, is the mercy of Almighty God. He goes for the simple people. The people who are not high-minded. I always say there's nobody too dead for Jesus to not be able to bring back to life again. There's some people who are too good to be saved, but nobody's too bad. Nobody's too far down. Though I make my bed in hell, thou art there, David said. And so anyway, appreciate your prayers, praying for him and for the family, and pray for me this Saturday that God, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to tell people what Danny told me. Let it be an encouragement to people, and let it draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that his wife wants that. I know he would want it, and I appreciate your prayers. We've had a police killing in the St. Louis area today. We got up this morning and heard of a police shooting. The last I'd heard this morning that this particular officer was in critical condition. He has now died. St. Louis County Officer Blake Snyder was killed responding to a disturbance call in South St. Louis County Thursday morning. He leaves behind a wife and young child. Police say in a release to the media, it is with a heavy heart that we can confirm that our officer has died from his injuries. He served St. Louis County for the past 4 years. The officer and his partner were assigned to the Afton Southwest Precinct, responded to a call for a disturbance on Arnold Drive. St. Louis County Chief Ballmer believes that the officer, Blake Snyder, encountered an 18-year-old suspect in the driver's seat of a vehicle. Snyder asked to see his hands. The suspect immediately opened fire, striking the officer. His partner returned fire and wounded the suspect. The police officer was also critically wounded in the shootout. He died from his injuries. Witness says he heard between 8 and 12 shots, and he thought the loud noise may have been fireworks until he saw the police lights outside. Another witness spotted a vehicle on Arnold with the window shot out. The suspect, 18 years old, 18 years old, people, 18 years old, already a cop killer, was involved in a felony narcotics case. Officer Snyder was also involved in that case. It is not clear if the shooting this morning was related to this case or if the two knew each other. Chief Ballmer says the shooting has, listen to this now, the shooting has some of the characteristics of an ambush. A gun was recovered from the scene. There appears to be no video of the shooting. Pray for that officer and his family and for all of those who are in law enforcement. My niece is in the Narcotics Division, Jefferson County Sheriff's Department. Pray for her. Pray for other police officers that we know and that we care about. There is a war. It is a... How can I say this? It's not a silent war, but it's a war. It's the beginnings, I think, of something far worse coming. I try not to be sensationalistic. I definitely don't start giving dates and we've got 6 months and then I heard a rumor that this was going to take place in December. I don't do that. I don't speculate. I don't forecast. But I'm telling you, there is a very, very dark evil spirit over this country because of her sins, because of the sins of those who are elected into public office. Not all of them, but many of them. There's a new book out now. You can find. When I first saw the article, I didn't pay much attention to it because I thought maybe it was just the gleanings or the rumor mongering of some of these far right websites that champion themselves as being the real news, when the truth of it is they make stuff up to sell advertisements. But apparently it's been written in a book that's been released about Bill and Hillary Clinton, that there is testimony that says that Bill Clinton did in fact get on the plane with Loretta Lynch and bully her, make sure that she knew her place and her role, and make sure that no charges would ever be filed against his wife, Hillary. Was I there? No. Sounds about right, though. It sounds right. It sounds like the corruption that exists in our country amongst those who want to be our leaders. Sounds about right. But there is a very, very dark evil spirit. There is a darkness moving over this land, a darkness that needs the light now more than ever to be shined in it. And you possess that light. No, it's not the New Age light of the universal mind. It's not the guru's light of your own inner self shining out for everybody. It is the light of the Word of God. It is the light of the gospel. It is that light that needs to be, should be shined in every dark place in this nation, including our own hearts. The light of the Word of God should never be feared by those who have a fear of the Lord. I woke up early again this morning, 3 o'clock this morning. I don't like that. I don't. I like getting my sleep. But I have some issues with some severe cramps in my lower legs and feet. And I've had people give me some ideas to try. I've tried them. I've tried lots of things. And nothing's... My magnesium and zinc and potassium and all that stuff, all my blood levels are fine. But at 3 o'clock this morning, my right leg, lower leg, went absolutely crazy. Took me about 10 minutes to walk it out. It just, every muscle in my lower leg and my feet was just cramping. A doctor that I saw a couple weeks ago seems to think that and a lot of the joint pain, the bone pain that I experienced, related to being electrocuted 10 years ago. And nerve damage done. I mean, I knew after that happened that the damage would show up. I knew it would, and it seems like it is. But anyway, once I walked it out and laid back down a little bit, I couldn't sleep, opened my tablet up, pulled my King James Bible up, and I just started reading, and I did this little study on the fear of the Lord. 30 times in your King James Bible, the fear of the Lord is there. The fear, it's one of the seven spirits of God. And if you just want to do a little study on your own at 3 o'clock in the morning, that would be the one to do. But anyway, those who have the fear of the Lord in them should never fear the light of God's Word shining into their heart, finding out things about themselves that maybe they don't want to know, finding out or discovering secret sins that are in us that need God's light shining. I'm not saying that they have to be shared to the whole world. I'm not saying they have to be posted on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is let God alone shine his light in your heart and find things out and discover things so that you can deal honestly with God. That's what I'm telling you to do. God will come to you alone, privately, like Jesus did with Nicodemus. Jesus stands at the door and knocks, and he's waiting for you to open the door, and he doesn't have a whole party with him. Yeah, come in, let us all in, and we'll talk about all your dirty stuff. Everybody, we'll get everybody in on it. That's not Jesus. He comes to you alone. And he'll sit with you while you counsel with him, while you talk to him and get counseling from him. That's what he wants to do. But God's people should never be afraid of the light shined on them or their lives or what's going on in the world. They should not be afraid of that. Let me throw this in while I'm thinking about it. Prophecy Roadshow will be on the road Sunday afternoon. We'll be leaving after the morning service. We'll be headed to Gainesville, Missouri. The address here is the Lily Ridge Church, County Road 513, Gainesville, Missouri. Believe it or not, if you just put that in your Google Maps app, it'll find it. It'll take you right to it. The services start at 7 p.m. We will attempt to stream them and record them so that we can bring them back and people can watch. If they were not able to stream it or not able to pick up the stream, we'll try to have it available somehow, some way. And I don't think that I'm going to be preaching anything brand new there. Just some good old things from the Word of God that I've talked about many, many times before, but I'm looking forward to it. I always get something new when I'm sharing this with people. Anyway, let me do this. We're going to be digging in our Bibles, and I've already got tons of verses pre-printed out for you. But I mentioned the light of the gospel and the light of the Word of God shining in places where people don't want it to be shined. Why do you think Hillary Clinton, why do you think she erased 33,000 emails? Why do you think she did that? Because obviously there are things in there that she doesn't want anybody to find out. And by the way, Hillary and document shredding have been going hand in hand now for years. When she worked at the Rose Law Firm and there was an investigation into the Whitewater real estate scandal that the Clintons were involved in, testimony was received that Hillary Rodham Clinton spent hours after the regular work hours at the Rose Law Firm shredding documents. If you remember, while Bill and Hillary Clinton lived in the House of White in Washington, D.C., there was a batch of documents that were missing. I think Kenneth Starr was looking for them. The Clintons saying, we have no idea. What documents? What documents are you talking about? What documents? What's a document? I have no idea. Come to find out, they were spotted on a table in the White House in a room that the Clintons have access to. Oh, those documents. Oh, why didn't you say that? Why? She wants to keep secrets. She does not want her deeds to be made known. Bill wants to keep all of his secrets a secret. Does not want them out there. And that's what evil people do. They hide things. They hide their meetings. They meet in secretive locations. They go to the Bilderberg Hotel. Don't allow anyone in except the elite of the world. And they meet and they discuss things. And no one is allowed to know what's going on. They go to the Bohemian Grove and participate in godless rituals. All done in secret, in private, where no one can see them. Outside of the camera and the microphone, outside of the public purveyance, these are people that we are hoping will preserve a Republican form of government and preserve our liberties as a people. These are the people that we have entrusted for this, and they do nothing but do most of their work in secret. And then we have secret societies, mystery religions, where there are two groups of doctrines. There is the exoteric doctrines, which are the stories, the myths, the teachings, the philosophies, and the doctrines that they teach to people on the outside. The common man. These are the things that people outside of the inner circle, these are things that we can tell them. But then there is the esoteric doctrines. The things that we can't say publicly, that we won't say publicly. Masons meeting in a Masonic lodge with no windows. Doing rituals in there that they are never to discuss. Giving secret passwords that they're never to divulge. Secret handshakes and grips that they're never ever to reveal to anyone on the outside. And even at that, joining the lodge, you never get the truth of the secret behind the lodge, especially in the first few levels. They tell you, well, this is what this means, and this is what this means. Then you find out later that they lied to you. It doesn't really mean that. It means something entirely different. They only told you that because you, at the time, were not worthy, deemed worthy by them, to receive the secret instruction. You hadn't reached the highest level yet in order to receive the real and true esoteric doctrine or teaching that we have. You've seen me use this book in the past. This is Fat Albert Pike's
Hey, Got a Secret Handshake.
This is Fat Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma. He was the original Fat Albert. If you take a look at him there, you see why. By the way, let me just, I don't know if he did this on purpose, but I think it has to do with the spirit that he has in him. You're looking at the face of a man and the hair of a woman. That's what you're looking at. Okay? I don't know if he did it purposely that way, but that's what I'm seeing here. Morals and Dogma of the Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, prepared for the Supreme Council of the 33rd Degree for the Southern Jurisdiction of the United States and published by its authority. And then stamped in great big letters here, esoteric book for Scottish Rite use only, to be returned upon withdrawal or death of recipient. I'll put that up there so you know. Esoteric book for Scottish Rite use only, to be returned upon withdrawal or death of recipient. And I found this at a used bookstore in Van Buren, Arkansas. I walked in there, browsed a little bit. Saw they had a lot of books, but I didn't see anything. I said, you got any books on masonry? And the guy turned, he was sitting at the counter, and he turned around. And he said, yeah, I just had some brought in. He pulls out this big stack, and I bought most of them. There was several old copies of what's called New Age Magazine. New Age Magazine was a Masonic, a Freemason magazine. I think it came out every month, and it was called The New Age. Think I got to have some music on that one, okay? It was the Masons that came up with this concept that we are entering into a new age. And this book was part of that. Now, I got accused by a lady. Silly, childish nonsense. Accused me of being a secret Freemason because I had a copy of this and only Masons are supposed to have that. No, what happened was some wife did not turn her husband's books in when he died, is what happened. And she decided to clear them out, sold them to a bookstore, I guess, or in a yard sale or something. That's where they ended up. A big box of books ended up at a used bookstore. And I found it there. No, I am not a Mason. Never have been. Never will be. It's ridiculous to accuse me of being a Mason based solely on the fact that I have a copy of Morals and Dogma. You can find a PDF of this all over the internet. And I've been told that, oh, do you have the secret version of it? And I'm going, I have no idea what that is. Oh, there's two versions of Morals and Dogma. There's one that doesn't have the secret in it and one that does have the secret in it. And let me help you out. I've only seen this one copy, either in book form or in PDF form. I've only seen one version of this book. I am not aware of another one, but I will say this. Having read several books written by Masons on Freemasonry, the real secret of Freemasonry, to my knowledge, is never written down in any Mason's book, ever. There is no way that Albert Pike... Now, I'm just telling you what I think. I've never seen a secondary copy of Morals and Dogma that has the secret in the back of it. I've never seen that. And my experience is that there's no way that Albert Pike, if he knew the secret, there's no way he would have written it down anywhere, knowing that it would stand the chance of falling into uninitiated hands. I don't think he ever did. I don't think that there is a copy of this book that has the real secret of Freemasonry in it. And I've told you this before. They have a massive library in Washington, D.C., in the House of the Temple Lodge. That's 1733, I think it's 16th Avenue or something like that. It's 13 blocks up from the White House, if you can believe that one. And I do. They have this massive library, and I went in that building, and the tour guide took us into the library, and I'm going, I can't believe I'm in, like, the nation's biggest Masonic library. Are they going to kill me after this, or what? Am I going to get, like, the Men in Black thing, you know, waved in front, you know, okay, stare directly at this, okay? And now all of a sudden I don't remember anything from the last 20 minutes? No. And I found out that if you fill out the information that they want, that you can request, as far as I know, any book that they have in there, and you can at least look through it while you're sitting there. And I think the reason why is they know that the mystery, the secret behind that secret society is not written down verbatim in any of those books. It's allegorized. Those are stories that Al Gore made up, okay? They're allegorized. They're told in myth, legend. They're discussed in philosophical concepts. They're given in symbol, but that is never spoken outright, ever, ever, ever. And how would you feel? How would you feel if you were joining the Masonic Lodge, told that you're going to be told secrets that the rest of the world doesn't know, and you're told meanings behind symbols, and then a few degrees later they said, oh, no, that was all a lie. We made that up. We didn't tell you anything. We didn't tell you the secret. We lied to you. Come on. Listen, that's how we roll here. You want to be one of the Bubba Club, you gotta go along with it, okay? Or we'll slit your throat from ear to ear and disembowel you and burn it with ashes and scatter them to the four winds. I mean, is that what you want? By the way, that's one of their oaths. They swear that they'll never divulge the secrets of the lodge. And if they do, then they want someone to slit their... They actually do this. Slit their throat from ear to ear. Let me read something from Manly Hall's Secret Teachings of All Ages. Manly Hall was a student of Freemasonry, among other secret mystery doctrines. And here's what he said. When confronted with a problem involving the use of the reasoning faculties, individuals of strong intellect keep their poise and seek to reach a solution by obtaining facts bearing upon the question. Those of immature mentality, on the other hand, when similarly confronted, are overwhelmed. While the former may be qualified to solve the riddle of their own destiny, the latter must be led like a flock of sheep and taught in simple language. Let me tell you what this means. It means that, by and large, secret societies only seek after those who have the intellect to lead and guide other people, and the common man needs to be led like little sheep. That's what he just said. They depend almost entirely upon ministrations of the shepherd. Thoughtlessness is almost synonymous with childishness, while thoughtfulness is symbolic of maturity. There are, however, but few mature minds in the world, and thus it was that the philosophic religious doctrines of the pagans were divided to meet the needs of these two fundamental groups of human intellect. One philosophic, the other incapable of appreciating the deeper mysteries of life. In other words, if you didn't go to college, you'll never understand the real secrets, and we're not going to tell you to begin with. It's like laying out that you are not, there's some people that are just not going to be worthy of receiving depth of anything. And let me just tell you, to understand and know as an illiterate car mechanic that Christ died for your sins and that you can go to heaven on the basis of faith alone, that is the most profound understanding that any human can ever know. And that is the understanding given to us by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's something that the smart, rich, arrogant, proud, high society type people will never attain to. This kind of understanding pervades our churches. While the ministers behind the pulpits give out very simple tea and cookie little lessons because they believe that their people are incapable of receiving these deep truths that they get from the Hebrew and Greek. Makes me angry. To the discerning few were revealed the esoteric or spiritual teachings, while the unqualified many received only the literal or exoteric interpretations. In order to make simple the great truths of nature and the abstract principles of natural law, the vital forces of the universe were personified, becoming the gods and goddesses of the ancient mythologies, while the ignorant multitudes brought their offerings to the altars of Priapus and Pan, deities representing the procreative energies. The wise recognized in these marble statues only symbolic concretions of great abstract truths. In all cities of the ancient world were temples for public worship and offering. In every community also were philosophers and mystics deeply versed in nature's lore. And he capitalizes the letter N in nature as a deity. These individuals were usually banded together, forming seclusive philosophic and religious schools. The more important of these groups were known as the mysteries. This is the Catholic clergy who are of the elite status, who tell the people in their congregations that they are not worthy nor fit to understand the Bible by themselves. They must accept the doctrines given to them by the priest and by the pope, because only these men are capable of understanding the mysteries that are given to us in our Bibles. Similar to what is coming out of most pulpits. Well, you're not on the spiritual level that we are. Therefore, we'll tell you, read any translation you want. because you'll never really know the deep and secret truths that I know, because I know the secret languages of Hebrew and Greek. This, and even the Hebrew roots people, same concept. You poor, pitiful Gentile Baptists will never understand what we know because we do it the Hebrew way. And that philosophy just, it reeks to me. I hate it. It's disgusting. Jesus hated it too. He called it the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, conquering the laity. The more important of these groups were known as the mysteries. Many of the great minds of antiquity were initiated into these secret fraternities by strange and mysterious rites, some of which were extremely cruel. Think Skull and Bone Society. Alexander Wilder defines the mysteries as, quote, sacred dramas performed at stated periods. The most celebrated were those of Isis, Sabazius, Sibylle, and Eleusis. After being admitted, the initiates were instructed in the secret wisdom which had been preserved for ages. Plato, an initiate of one of those sacred orders, was severely criticized because of his writings. He revealed to the public many of the secret philosophic principles of the mysteries. Every pagan nation had and has not only its state religion, but another into which the philosophic elect alone have gained entrance. What he's saying to you is, in every nation and in every culture, there are two groups of people. The first group are the ones who sort of hold the national religion. They're the ones who go to church. They're the ones who go to the synagogue or the temple or the mosque. But then in those groups, you have a secret elect group of people. Highly educated, high thinkers, free thinkers. These and these alone are the ones to be found worthy to hold these mysteries in a secret fashion, never divulging them and only passing them on to future initiates when it has been proven that these people have manifested their worth to those who are already initiated. Two groups of people. And it doesn't take any conspiratorial mind whatsoever to believe that in the halls of our government in the United States of America, Great Britain, Australia, Kenya, you name it, there is an elitist group who feel like that they are above the people. They are above the laws. They are above the Constitution. They are above top secret, that the meetings that they hold and the power that they wield is theirs because they earn it, because they deserve it, because it cannot be in the hands of the people. Are you listening to this? Secret societies and philosophic cults and secret cabals in high levels of government, they are against the principles of those who wrote out our Constitution that said that the power of the government should lie in the hands of the people and not the people in the government. Can I hear an amen from somebody? Secret societies and secret groups in high levels of government, doesn't matter if it's state government, county government, federal government, United Nations, doesn't matter. Those groups are against the principles of what this nation was founded for. That the right that the government has only comes from the consent of those that are governed. Meaning, we the people. That same principle applies in the church. Now, I know there must be biblical pastoral authority in every church. I understand that. I am a pastor. I am the one who is responsible for what goes on in the pulpit of our church. I don't have just anybody come in. Oh, you preached a revival across town a couple years ago? Well, come on over. I don't do that. if I don't know somebody and know their ministry and know their teaching, know their philosophies, and if I don't know them, they don't preach behind my pulpit. I have a responsibility for that. But you have also heard me say repeated times, I am not the only one in our church, whether our local congregation or extended congregation, I am not the only one who has a right to read, meditate on, understand, and know what that Bible says. I'm not the only one who has that. That power should be given to the congregation. Think about what Lucifer said in Isaiah 14. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That to me is a pastor or a denomination that seeks to govern over and lord over the congregation of the people and say to them, you do what we tell you to do and you must believe what we tell you to believe, or we throw you out and you're not saved anymore. They'll tell you that you're going to lose your salvation if you don't do what they tell you to do. And that's in denominations. That is in independent churches. It is in the non-denominational churches where the Latter-day prophets tell everybody, do what you must listen to me or you're going to lose your salvation. God's going to have his wrath poured out on you. So it doesn't matter if it's a secret society or the elitism that pervades our pulpits and our legislative halls and our judicial halls in this nation. It stinks to God and it stinks to the people. Let's see here. Much of the ritualism of Freemasonry is based on the rituals to which candidates were subjected by the ancient hierophants before the keys of wisdom were entrusted to them. Few realize the extent to which the ancient secret schools influenced contemporary intellects and, through those minds, posterity. Now, he mentions here that in ancient times, when the mystery religions would get together, they would perform sacred dramas and use like sacred hymns or sacred poems to convey the secrets of that particular secret society or a mystery religion. Likewise, in today's world, there is zero doubt in my mind that there is the education of the masses into the secret of the secret societies and the mystery religions by way of dramas, poems in the form of popular music, movies, commercials, TV shows, books, comic books, magazine articles. The things that are reaching the people in this world today, the things that they spend hours pulling into their mind, video games. Many of these, I wouldn't say all of them, but many of them are very subtle ways of initiating people into the secret doctrines. Think about the X-Men. Think about Superman being 33 years old. Okay, the Man of Steel. He says, I've been here for 33 years. He's 33 years old. He is in that movie, the Christ overtones were so obvious, I don't see how anybody missed it. But it wasn't trying to teach you in a poetic way about the real Jesus. No, that's not what it was. It was about a man who fell from heaven, who was told by his father that he would be a god to the humans and that he would be a bridge between the human world and Krypton. By the way, do you know what Krypton means? It's from the word crypt or cryptic. That's where they got it from. It means a secret. Like something buried and hidden that can be revealed one of these days by the right people, or if you have the right key, you can have those things revealed. These are the things that are going into the minds of people right now. People don't have to be a member of a known secret society organization like Freemasons or Odd Fellows or the Rosicrucians or Skull and Bones or whatever. They don't have to be official handshaking members of the Freemasonic Society in order to be part of the initiation process that's taking place right now. I know there's websites out there that just about everybody that's in public office, somebody is accusing them of being a Freemason. Oh, they're a Freemason. Did you see the way their fingers did this when they were giving their speech the other day? Did you see that? They're showing they're a Freemason. Let me just say this, and I may be wrong, been wrong before, but from my knowledge of the official Freemason guidelines, you're not supposed to hide your membership in the Masonic Lodge. You're not supposed to hide that. If someone asks you, are you a Mason? You're supposed to say, yeah, I'm a Mason. Don't hide it. You see these guys going around pickup trucks with Masonic logos on them, or these big Cadillac cars going down the street with Masonic emblems on it. These guys are not hiding their affiliation with the Masonic Lodge. They're proud of it. They don't hide it. And my point is this. In today's world, people don't have to be officially initiated into Freemasonry, but they are being initiated and brought into by way of the dramas, the movies, the commercials, the embedded ideas and visualizations that are being put into them by the media of this world, by music or whatever it is. Those things are being embedded into the minds of people, and the fruit of that seed is going to come to realization one of these days. And that's what the secret of secret societies is all about. It's about something that's going to happen in this world. Something that had to be kept secret. Because if people found it out, they wouldn't voluntarily go along with it. Because after all, most people, when asked the question, how would you like to be in league with the Antichrist and receive a mark in your right hand or forehead? They would say, no, I don't want that. I don't want no 666 on me. Most, I would not say in all, but most people would do that. Knowingly, if they were to be knowingly initiated into a cult that was worshiping Lucifer, they would say, I don't worship Lucifer. So they can't be brought in that way. They have to be brought in secretly. It has to be done subtly. It has to be done like the serpent did with Eve in the Garden of Eden. It has to be done by way of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That's the way it has to be done. You have to draw them in by their own lust and entice them. Therefore, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Did you hear the language there of the scriptures? It's like a child is going to be born. And that, my friends, is part of the secret. Let's look at the scriptures. Let's dig deep. Let's not use a shovel today. Let's get a backhoe out. Big, long, gnarly thing to dig deep down into the ground. Let's get into the scriptures. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Now you underline that in your Bible, and you keep that in the forefront of your mind, right here. This is where we make a lot of our decisions, right here in the big front part of the frontal lobe. You remember that God said that he's not going to do anything that he has not revealed that secret unto his servants, the prophets. And I believe, let me read Romans 16 while I'm thinking about it. Because there is this pervasive idea out there that says, oh, there's latter-day prophets now. Oh, they're getting new revelations from God. Oh, God's going to reveal some secret to me. I'm getting a word of knowledge here about you. Oh, I'm getting a word of wisdom. Oh, I'm getting, God is showing me things. People, don't fall for that. You don't need it. And I wouldn't believe that guy or that woman to begin with. No way, no how. Because if they really have something that comes from God, either they or the Holy Ghost will direct you to a sure word of prophecy. You say within your mind, I don't know if I can believe that man or not, or that woman. But God, I believe every word in your book. And if what they said is true, you show it to me in the book. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. The word mystery and the word secret in the Bible, interchangeable. Okay? Mystery is the Greek word of it. The word mystery is only found in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it was a secret. The revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Do you see how they put it together in that verse? See how the Bible works? Well, I don't know if mystery is secret, Pastor Mike. Well, now is made manifest the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. The Bible just clicked them together for you in that one verse. Isn't that convenient? But now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And what he's saying here is, if it's going to be revealed, it's going to be revealed by the scriptures of the prophets. That would be like Jeremiah and Amos and Daniel and John and David and Moses and Enoch. Not the book of Enoch. The real Enoch in the book of Jude. What he said. It's going to be revealed in the scriptures. The bottom line is, if you didn't get it from scriptures, I wouldn't trust it. I would not hang my hat on it. I would not base my life on it. I would not read Fritz Springmeier's prediction that on September 30th, they're going to introduce a worldwide currency and all the banks are going to fail. I wouldn't sell all my stock on that. I wouldn't do that. If it didn't come from the scripture, I personally don't trust it, and neither should you. Matthew 13:35, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Mark 4:22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. You know what this has? And by the way, this is like many things in the Bible that always have a multitude of applications. It's not just limited to the mystery of the gospel, where Jesus is now revealed. He is the Son of God. He was born, he lived, he died, he rose again, and he ascended on high. It's more than just that, because he said there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, which includes, number one, your sins. Number two, your neighbor's sins. Number three, all of Hillary's emails. Number four, all of Bill's women and or teenage girls. Bill's love child. Have you seen that article? All these things are going to be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. God is the revealer of secrets. God is the one who sat in at the Bilderberg meeting, at the convention of the Catholic cardinals, at the highest secret society meetings that are held in the United States, in London, in the Vatican, in the Middle East, in Jerusalem. The Holy Ghost was there at all of those meetings, and he knows all of their secrets, because there is nothing that is hidden from God. Nothing. Luke 8:17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. John 18:20, Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Now, there's always going to be these wackos out there that are trying to tell you that there are other books that should have been in the Bible that are not, like the Gospel of Thomas or the Gospel of Peter or the Gospel of Mary Magdalene or the Gospel of Judas. And most of these extra biblical quote-unquote Gospels, number one, were never written by the people whose name adorns the book. They're called pseudepigrapha, which means a pseudonym was used. It said Peter, but Peter didn't write it. It said Mary Magdalene, but she didn't write it. It said Judas, but Judas didn't write it either. The Gnostics were busy writing these other Gospels during Paul's day. He said, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. They were already doing it in Paul's day. And they were writing that Jesus was the recipient of a secret doctrine. He was initiated into a secret society by John the Baptist. And that he possessed the hidden doctrine. And he would only give it out to certain people. And he taught outwardly to some people, but he taught secretly where no one could find it out what he meant. That is what masonry is. Masonry says anything that we teach you in the lodge meeting, anything that we talk about, any of the symbols that we give you, they're to never leave this room. They are to never be exposed in public. The threat of taking your life exists should you ever divulge the secrets that you're being handed to in this lodge meeting room. Worked out. All right. Back to the secret societies we go. Here is the Masons telling you, we can't tell you what we say and do in the Masonic Lodge. And here is Jesus saying, I don't have any secret doctrines. There's not anything that I've ever taught that was never to be divulged to anybody. Even when Jesus, when he would teach in parables, and then he would take his disciples and say, unto you it is given to know these things, and he tells them plainly what those parables mean, they were all written down, and they're in the Bible, and any Jew in the world could pick one up and read it and go, that's what he was talking about. That's what he was teaching. They can do that, but they won't. Because they hate the Gentiles and they hate the Gentile New Testament. Romans chapter 2 verse 16 talks about the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel, according to my gospel. Ephesians 5:11. Here is reason number one why you should never join a secret society. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Darkness means it's hidden. It's esoteric. It is occulted. It's been covered. It's been veiled. It's been allegorized. And you're not going to be given the key to unlock it. That's what secret societies stand for. And we're to have no fellowship with those unfruitful works of darkness, but we're rather to reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. A pastor friend of mine, he has a little tract rack and little bookstore in his church, and they don't sell things for profit. That's not what they're doing. They just bring in information from different people and they disseminate it through their church, and they have tracts there from Jack Chick, and some of those tracts deal with Freemasonry. This particular pastor at one time was brought into the initiations of the lodge, and he knew they weren't right, so he started giving out tracts in his church against Freemasonry. And he was at a restaurant, local diner, one day. A couple of the guys from the lodge saw him there, and they said, hey, need to talk to you a little bit. Yeah, come on, talk to me. He knew who they were. And they said, you've got some books there in your church. Your people are handing them out all over town. That's saying things against the Masonic Lodge. And he said, yeah, I know it. Well, you need to take them down. He said, let me tell you something. I'm not going to take them down. And he said, you guys know that I used to be in your little cult, don't you? And they said, yeah. And he said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to go. And he said, I'm going to buy a bunch more. And he said, I'm going to hand them out all over town. He said, I'm going to go around and tell everybody what you guys do in secret in that lodge meeting. He said, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You going to slip my throat from ear to ear? And about that time, those guys started walking out. And I looked at him and I said, aren't you scared of those guys? He said, Mike. He said, these men are in darkness. All you have to do is start shining the light on them, and they scatter like cockroaches. They can't handle the light. The light shines in their darkness, and their darkness does not comprehend it. The very last thing that these mystery... By the way, all of these are under a spirit called Mystery Babylon the Great. Mystery is her first name. She is the goddess of all the mystery religions, the mystery cults, the Roman Catholic Church, the Masonic Lodge. She is the goddess over all of those. And all you have to do is shine the light on it. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Your Bible. Your Bible will make these things manifest. Your Bible will tell you things about people that they don't want anybody to know. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise. Guys who were on patrol in the military, in a foreign field, a forward operation area, in the heat of battle, never walked around. I don't know why the British think that the best way to fight a battle is to walk in a straight line and just wait for the guys in the front to get killed. Best way to do it was to walk circumspectly, looking around. That's how we walk, people. Look around you. See what's going on around you. Be aware of your surroundings. By the way, that's how you read the Bible. Somebody tries to give you some obscure, weird doctrine and only slips you a verse or a piece of a verse, then you stop right there and you open your Bible up and you walk circumspectly around that verse to see what that's really talking about. Because one of the methods of false teachers and false prophets is to isolate a part or a whole of a verse from its context to get you to think that it means something, when the truth of it is, when you go read it and walk circumspectly around it, you're going, well, it doesn't mean that at all. Wasn't talking about that at all. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with spirit. Did you know that that was the context that that was written in? He's teaching you to walk circumspectly, to walk, look, and by the way, drunks cannot walk circumspectly. They cannot go like this. It makes them dizzy and they'll fall down. Drunks don't walk circumspectly. Drunks don't care and pay attention to the lines they're crossing on the road. And the direct context of be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit is involved in knowing what's going on around you. And you can't do that if you have a drunken, charismatic spirit on you that makes you fall backwards and makes you laugh uncontrollably, and you're drunk in the spirit. You're wobbling around. Shoot. The devil's going to come get you and you'll never know what hit you. So let's look at some places in the Bible that reveals the secrets of secret societies. Let's look at how they work. First place we're going to go is Deuteronomy 13. Open your Bibles up there. What led me to do the whole chapter, Deuteronomy 13, was the idea that God told Israel in verse 6, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods. Shh. I know we go to the Baptist church, but let's go and serve the gods, which are the fallen angels, which are the stars. Let's go serve them. Shh. We do it secretly. That's what got me to this chapter. This whole chapter is full of, watch out, people. The false prophets and the false teachers and the mystery cults are coming. Start in verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. We know in Revelation 13, same number here, by the way, of a false prophet who's going to give lying signs and wonders. And people are going to believe him. Why? Because of the signs that he gives, the wonders that he causes. They're going to happen, because that's what he says. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And the people that have fallen for the Bethel, Redding, Bill Johnson, Todd Bentley, New Apostolic Reformation, Benny Hindu, signs and wonders, health and wealth, prosperity gospel, nonsense, the people that fall for that stuff, the people who fall for these Virgin Mary apparitions that are taking place all over the world, the people that fall for these alleged miracles that Mother Teresa didn't do, the people who fall for this stuff, you know what the purpose of it was? To draw people away from the truth of the Word of God, to follow after the prophet who gave a sign or a wonder or a vision. God said, I let these guys come on the scene, and of course, I pay them well. I let these guys and these women come on the scene because there's going to be proof of who's on my side and who's not. So I'm going to let them teach what they want to teach, and I'm going to let them do. I'm going to let the devils that are behind them allow them to perform miracles or alleged miracles, because there are people out there who say they want truth, but they don't. And I know they don't. And it's going to be known and proved to the world and to them that in name only did they serve me, but their heart was not for me. Verse 4, he said, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. You know what the way is? You know what the way is? The way is the Bible. And you know, I don't think I've ever done that study of the way. 374 times in the King James Bible, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Psalm 119, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. See, there he's connected it for you. The way is the Bible. Psalm 119:14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. Verse 27, make me understand the way of thy precepts. Remove me from the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. I will run the way of thy commandments. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Lead me in the way everlasting. Boy, that's good. But their job, their role is to take you out of the way, to thrust you out of the way, to get you to stop believing the Bible. That's their job and their role. And with a lot of people, it works. It's like easy to do this. Verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend. Boy, I'll tell you what, that gets personal. Now, don't get me wrong. To me, family is very important. My wife, my daughters, their husbands, my grandchildren, my boys. Man, they're special to me. I love them. I care about them. I pray for them. I thank God for them. But I can't let any one of them or all of them talk me out of believing the Word of God. I can't do it. If that's the way they go, I'm going to weep over it just about every day. But I can't go that way. And believe it or not, I'm not strong enough to hold myself away from, let's say, all of my family decided to just skip out and go somewhere else, go follow some new age thing. I'm not 100% sure that I'm strong enough to withstand it. I would have to have God's help. Because I'm telling you, I would be an emotional wreck if I lost my family to some cult. So maybe you're out there. In fact, I know you are. And you have lost your family to some cult or atheism or whatever. I there's no way in the world I could say, leave them. You didn't need them to begin with. You hate their guts. I couldn't tell you that. I can't tell you, don't weep over them. They made their bed, let them sleep in it. I couldn't tell you that. You have very, very deep rooted feelings and emotions with these people. And if it were easy for you to just turn your back on your own kinfolk while they go serve other gods, if it would be easy to do that, God would not probably have had to write it so harshly in His Word. But He makes it plain, and He's very sincere in this, that when our family turns away from God, we don't have a choice but to stick with God and turn from our own family. You would be like me. You'd have to have God just nail you down to where you couldn't move until the emotion subsided, if ever. If they'd said this, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which were round about you, nigh unto thee. He's talking about the religion of the giants. Or far off from thee, from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. But thou shalt surely kill him, thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. Thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. Listen to that, people. God was serious about this. You think you've got it hard? You think you've got it hard? God told the husband, the man of the family, that if his wife ever walked away from the Lord and went and served other gods and had Baal images. Of course, after her trial, after it was known what she did, her husband had to be the first one to strike the death blow to his own wife. That's harsh. I don't think we have it that hard right now. That's some pretty harsh stuff. But it shows you how serious God is on this issue of who we're going to serve and what doctrines we're going to be part of and what religion are we going to seek after. Are we going to seek after the one that seeks to tell everyone in the world the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, "What I speak in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. Shout it from the housetops. Tell everybody. Don't keep it secret. Let everybody know." We're going to choose that religion, the right one, or go after the secret religions where we secretly worship other gods. Let me tell you something. I don't think it's beyond the scope of being unreasonable to believe with all of our heart that embedded into denominations, seminaries, Christian publishing houses, churches, ministries, embedded into them are people who on the outside appear as if they worship Jesus and believe the Bible, but inwardly and secretly they are serving other gods. And if you think I'm just being conspiratorial and crazy-headed about that, Jude said certain men crept in unawares. Paul said false brethren brought in unawares. How did they come in? Secretly. That tells you what spirit they are of. You see, here at Bethel Church, we do not have a program of evangelism by, evangelism by infiltration. We don't dispatch people from our church to go join the Mormon Church, the Jehovah's Witness cult, the Roman Catholic Church, the New Age Charismatic Witchcraft Church. We don't have our agents embedded in those churches trying to secretly pull disciples away out of those churches and draw them to our church. We don't have that. We don't do that. We don't send people in pretending to be Mormons and then drawing Mormons out of that church and getting them to come to ours. We don't have that infiltration program. But you know what's interesting? They do. They do. Who was it? The Jesuit priest, Alberto Rivera, outlined to Jack Chick and said, "Jack, you can believe this or not, but I was a Jesuit priest, and we were trained to pretend to be Pentecostals, Nazarene, Methodist, Baptist, Anglican. We were trained to be Sunday school teachers, youth camp leaders, evangelists. We were trained to be that so that we could infiltrate and then destroy those denominations." You know, it took me a long time before I really believed what he was saying. But I see it now. And so do you. There are infiltrators. We know it. We know it by way of the Bible that there are infiltrators in the Christian churches, denominations, seminaries, the publishing houses, the VBS program, you name it. There are false brethren brought in unawares, crept in, infiltration agents that are designed to destroy the gospel of Jesus Christ and replace it with worshiping other gods. Deuteronomy 27:15. Listen to this. This speaks directly to what the secret is of secret societies. Check this out. And I'm going to give you evidence for it, all right? Deuteronomy 27:15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen! Now watch this. Turn to Ezekiel 14. The Bible explains the Bible, right? What is this secret place that he's referring to? Is it that they have a closet somewhere where you open it up and there's these candles lit and there's this little Madonna and child there with incense burning before it? And when you get home from church Sunday night, you go into the bedroom and you open the closet door and you bow before the image of Mary. It could be. Could be. Here's a secret place that God is going to reveal now. Ezekiel 14, verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Notice where they put their idols. In their heart. There should be some music on that. They didn't have idols in the front yard. No. They hid them in a place where only they and God knew where they were. And nobody knew it. Nobody saw it. Except them. I wonder, what's in your heart? What's hiding in there that you don't let other people see? He calls it, verse 3, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them? Look at what he said. Not only did he identify idols in their heart, but he said it's the stumbling block of their what? Their iniquity. People, let me just say this. Let me say it out loud. Let me say it public. We all have our secret sins, don't we? We all do. Everybody does. The best thing that you can do every day is take the Word of God, make it a hammer, and bust those idols up every single day. Take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. That's the best you can do. Because no sooner than you get it put down, I mean, go look at the story of Israel. No sooner that one king or one judge led them to righteousness, but then they fell right back into wickedness again. And then another king or judge would lead them back into righteousness. And then they'd fall into wickedness again. When I go to Gainesville next week, part of what I have planned to teach them is about the cycles that we go in. And there are times, people, when you're going to have to just decide, I think today's a good day to go smashing some idols and some things that I'm harboring in my heart and get them out. God hath dashed all of his enemies to pieces, the Bible says. So I think it'd be a good day every now and then, maybe daily if need to, take the Bible and use it as a hammer and bust up some idols so you don't trip over them anymore, because they're a stumbling block, aren't they? Verse 4, therefore speak unto them. See, that's the secret place that nobody can see. Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. In other words, if he's got idols, then that man's going to be deceived. If he doesn't, then I'll tell him the truth. that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they're all estranged from me through their idols. Do you see? You see what he's saying, people? You're saying, I'll never join a secret society. I'll never be a Mason. And yet you've got a sinful, wicked, iniquitous stumbling block already in your heart, and God knows it, and you refuse to acknowledge it. You've refused to deal with it. You know why? Because deep down, secretly, you like it there, and you don't want to let go of it. You won't smash it. You won't destroy it. And so you know what? When God speaks to you the truth, you won't believe it. And when he sends a spirit of false prophecies to you, that would be too mean. I can't say that. When people lie on the internet, you believe it. See what I'm saying? You fell for it, didn't you? You keep falling for it. Maybe there's a stumbling block in your heart. And God is only speaking to you. Well, how did he say? I will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Look at what he says in verse 6. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel or the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me and setteth up idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. Look at verse 8. And I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. Now, this requires a little bit of explaining. Lest you get the impression that God lies. God does not lie. Here's how God does it. See, God always explains himself. This was, what prophet was it? Micaiah. Hezekiah and Ahab brought Micaiah. And they said, Micaiah, what's really going on here? And Micaiah said, well, let me tell you what I saw. I saw the Lord and all these spirits around him. And the Lord said, who can I get to deceive Ahab? And this one spirit said, I'll do it. And God said, wherewith? How are you going to do it? And he said, I will go and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets unto Ahab. And God said, go do it. Listen, there are devils that are just waiting for God to send them to come down to lie and deceive people. That's how God does it. Because these people don't want the truth. They can't handle the truth. God will only let them be deceived who want to be deceived. Let's stop right here. I don't have this in my notes. Maybe I do. Yes, I do. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Turn there. Because he said the secret had to do with making an image and putting it in a secret place. And then Ezekiel said that they've got images in their heart where nobody can see it. They look like they're Christians on the outside, but inwardly, they're just ravening wolves like everybody else is. You know what Jerry Lee Lewis said? You know what Jerry Lee Lewis said? Fornicating, drunkard, adulterating Jerry Lee Lewis, rock and roll star. You know what he said? He said, I've been singing the devil's music for years. Then I go to church and I hear him singing the devil's music in church. At least I know I'm singing the devil's music. Not bad from a lost guy. Lost people know what kind of music that is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in, right here, here it is, the temple of God. Here's my 24 elders, my 24 ribs. Here's my two long, you got to see this. I'm not going to do it today. You got to see the bronchial tree. Oh my goodness. The bronchial tree. You got a tree in you, literally. I mean literally, you have a tree in you. Anyway, the two lungs are the seven spirits of God. Your heart, with its four chambers, is the throne of God with the four living creatures. The temple of God is your heart. That's where the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the man of sin, that's where he wants to reign from. That's where he wants to sit. He is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Verse 7, for the mystery, remember what the mystery, or the word mystery, was related to, the secret. And we have the secret mentioned in Deuteronomy, where? Deuteronomy 27, 15, cursed be any man that maketh a graven or molten image, putteth it in a secret place. Ezekiel 14, saying they have idols or images in their heart. 2 Thessalonians 2, saying the man of sin, who is the idol shepherd, I-D-O-L, shepherd, idol shepherd. He's that statue that I saw in that Lutheran church. This 10-foot tall statue of Jesus sitting on a throne on the stage in the church, and the Lutheran minister bowing and praying the prayer to the statue. And I'm going, nah, you're not supposed to.
People who do that should be arrested.
Yeah. You're not supposed to do that. But that's what they had the idol shepherd right up there on stage. And I'm just going, nah, that's Mystery Babylon the Great. We're not doing that. What agreement at the temple of God with idols, people, right? Ye are the temple of the living God. That's what he said. So look, the mystery of iniquity is the secret of secret societies. What is the mystery of iniquity? Doth already work. What is it? He that is God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And he said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who... Paul was telling you that there were mystery religions already working at his time. And there was. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And I have been ridiculed. I have been blasted. Because I'm trying to convince everybody there is no such thing as a Mandela effect, whereby somebody went back in the past, altered the King James Bible, and so now the Bible we have now in the King James has been altered and changed because we're in an alternative timeline now. I'm trying to convince people that the Word of God is incorruptible. You can't change it. And I'm being ridiculed now because I didn't fall for it. And they did. And I'm thinking, you know, if you're going to fall for that, the Mandela effect, when God sends the strong delusion, that'd be easy for you to fall for. And the target is always the way of truth. It's always the written word of God. Always. They always go after the Bible, people. Once they eliminate the Bible from your thinking, they can replace in it anything they want. So the mystery of iniquity is the secret of the secret societies. And there is coming a day when God is going to, it's like he's going to flip a switch. And just like what we saw in the days of Micaiah, this spirit is going to come down to this earth and it's going to send a strong delusion to the entire world. And they're all going to fall for it except God's elect. The truly elect is what very elect means. The people who are really saved, the people who really believe the Bible, not just say they do. See, God does all this to separate us. He's going to draw a line. Everybody's going to get on one side of the line or the other. The question is, which side are you going to be on? Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And see, what I was doing years ago was I was looking for the secret of Masonry. And that's why I was reading all their books, because I thought, well, surely somebody wrote it down. Surely it's, I have these secret books that I'm not supposed to have. Maybe they wrote it down in there. And I did. I read them. Oh, look. Oh, he's going to say it. No, he didn't say it there. Oh, look, he's building up to it. No, he wouldn't tell us. It was like that all throughout. I'm just going, why don't you tell me the secret? I want to know. Come on, what's wrong? Please tell me. I said, God, that's not fair. I want to know. So I one day God led me to study the word secret. Mike, study the word secret. Not a bad idea. So I did. I got my Bible search software out, which was QuickVerse 3.0 at the time on Windows XP. And just typed in the word secret or secrets. And I just went one verse after another, reading them, reading a verse. And I'm going, ooh, wait a minute. Secret place. Ooh, look at that. Secret. The secret things belong to the Lord. He's going to reveal the secret things. Ooh, he's going to do it. Let's see here. Let's do, for time's sake, go to Job 4. Ow. I just hit my nose on this. These little barbed wires here on this thing. Job 4. Let me show you how God said this thing was going to be done. Job 4:12. Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof, and thoughts from the visions of the night when deep sleep falleth on men. There's a clue right there. Where was the secret? It was in a deep sleep vision. Fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. Oh, it would me too, bud. Woo! It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. No, I'd be going, I'm out of here! The image, an image was before mine eyes, and there was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no, watch this now. He put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. Did you see that? Did you just see what I saw? Job said, a secret thing was brought in a vision, and God said he charged his angels with folly. You know what that is, don't you? That's like doing the nasty. That's what they did. Genesis chapter 6. Before and after the flood, the angels took the women, the human women, and made babies with them. He charged those angels with folly. Foolishness. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom. A secret thing was brought to me. He charged his angels with folly. It was in a night vision, in deep sleep. Let's go to Psalm 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Think about the word mystery. When you study the word mystery, you'll find out that we now have revealed to us in the new covenant the mystery that had been kept secret. Now it's revealed, and that mystery is Christ in the four Gospels being the Savior both of the Gentile and Israel. Israel, to them, it's still a secret, still a mystery, but to us, it's revealed. So the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant, and he has the new one. Proverbs 3:32, for the froward is abomination of the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Isaiah 45:3, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. He's saying here that he's going to give us the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Treasure is a Bible word. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And that treasure is the Word of God in us. God said he hid and sealed things up among his treasures. Those treasures are the Word of God hidden inside of us. Vessels of clay. Earthen vessels. Let's see here. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. As we close it out today. Daniel chapter 2, because as I was searching this out, when I got to Daniel chapter 2, and I saw that what Nebuchadnezzar was looking for, an answer to, what did I dream? What did it mean? Remember, the secret was in deep sleep, was in a vision of the night. And Nebuchadnezzar wanted to know, I want to know first what I dreamed, because I dreamed a dream and now it's gone from me. And the second thing I want to know is, what does it mean? So he called his astrologers and soothsayers and magicians and Chaldeans, four, and said, tell me the dream, then tell me what it means. O king, wise and true, tell us the dream, we'll tell you what it means. And Nebuchadnezzar looked at him and said, no, I don't remember the dream, and if you really are as all-powerful as you've been leading me to believe all these years, then if you're smart enough to know what a dream means, then you should be smart enough to be able to tell me what it was. So you tell me what the dream was, and if you don't, then I will know that you have prepared lying and corrupt words for me. And I'll know that just about everything you've told me in the last several years have been a bunch of baloney, and I'll have your head cut off. How's that? So Daniel heard about it. Went to Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and said, guys, we're fixing to lose our heads. Maybe God will have mercy on us. Maybe God will show us what it was. And sure enough, God showed Daniel. Now look at what he said in Daniel chapter 2, in verse 18, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Look at verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. The secret was revealed to Daniel. Verse 22. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. The Bible says in another place that the darkness is as light to God. God can see in them both. God doesn't need a flashlight. God can see everywhere and everything. including the visions that we have and the dreams that we have at night. God can see all of them. He knows what they are. He revealeth the deep and secret things. Verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king." Verse 28, "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." Verse 29, "As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass." Verse 30, "But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living." Now let me stop right here. It's my, I guess you'd call it my life's journey, my nature, my goal, my ministry, my desire is to know more of the truths of the Word of God. I want to know stuff. I'm not just happy memorizing a couple verses out of the Bible and going about my life. That doesn't satisfy me. It's not what I want to know. It's what else I want to know. That's me. And I don't know if you've heard me say this, but whenever I do like a Watchman or Pastor Mike Online or preach a sermon, I hardly ever look back at what I just did. I'm always looking ahead to the next thing. It's what drives me. It's what compels me. I come in here in the morning and say, "God, show me something new. Show me something different. Keep me going, God." And I love that. So God has been gracious to me. He's given me a lot of things that a lot of people never considered, but they're right there in the Bible. And I don't mind telling everybody, listen, there's never been anything that God has shown me out of the Word that God has said, "Now, Mike, we can't tell that to everybody. We have to keep that a secret." I guarantee you, things that God doesn't want me to say, He knows better than to tell me, because I got a big mouth. I just got to tell everything. But I want you to understand something. I'm not any more special than anybody else in this world. No way, no how. I know my heart. God knows my heart. I am not any different than anybody else. I'm not some high exalted guy that God called that you're going to get them all from Pastor Mike. I don't do that. I don't do it to myself. I don't want you to do it to me. Don't exalt me. Don't put me on a pedestal. Because if you do, I'll offend you. I know how to do it. And here's what Daniel said. Daniel was not taking the credit for this. Look at what he said. "As for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation of the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart." Daniel said, we're not going to exalt me here, Neb. It's not about me. This is something that God wants known. He wants it out there. He wants you to know, King. He wanted us to know, and he wants everyone to know. That's why God is now giving this to us, so that his word would be fulfilled. "Surely the Lord doeth nothing, but he revealeth his secret." See it right there? He revealed a secret to Daniel. And what is that secret? Well, you know what Daniel chapter 2 is. It's sort of been, I'll pass Daniel up a year ago here. It's sort of been just the basis of a lot of things that I see. And I'm telling you, every secret in every secret society is this right here. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. That's it. That's the all big, huge secret. That every secret society, every mystery doctrine, the Roman Catholic mysteries, the secret tabernacle temple rituals that go on in the Mormon church, the Bilderberg meeting, the Rockefellers, this Council on Foreign Relations, the Vatican, you name it. Every secret religion, society, every one of them. This is it right here. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And when I caught that, when I went, that's it. That's it. That's the secret. And then I went, the square and compass. That's them mingling themselves with the seed of men. And then I started just looking at the emblems of masonry. The symbols, the handshakes, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. The 10 toes, iron mixed with miry clay. It's everywhere. The seed of men. The square and compass sitting on top of a King James Bible. The King James Bible represents your DNA. The seed of men. The square and compass represents the fourth kingdom, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And you know what I think? The soothsayers and the astrologers and the magicians and the Chaldeans, they were already in the secret society. And they didn't know. I don't think, I'm just telling you what, I don't think that most people, I don't know all, I don't think most people that are in secret societies, even at the highest levels, really understand what their big secret is all about. I'm not convinced that Albert Pike knew it. I'm not convinced that Manly Hall knew it. There's no way of knowing because they never said it. I do know for a fact that these four counselors of Nebuchadnezzar, themselves, members of secret practices, occult arts, they didn't know it. It was hidden from them. So why would I think that any Mason would actually know the real secret of Masonry? I don't think they do. I think they know an allegory of it. I think they know a shadow of it. But I don't think they know the real thing. But it's plainly revealed right there in the Word of God. All the secrets are going to be revealed in these last days. And you know what? I'm up for the ride, people. I am. I'm ready for it. There's things I don't know that I want to know, okay? And I've learned over the years to be patient with God, because He'll give them to me when it's time and not any sooner, okay? And will He do it for you? Of course He will. Did it for me. I'm an old dirty rat bag, nasty nose sinner. But I ask God questions. You want to know answers? You want answers? You can handle the truth, okay? God will share them with you, all right? Another Watchman broadcast coming out. We'll see you Sunday morning. Pray for us. Pray for our revival meetings, all right? We'll see you.